Chapter 58. Rebellion. Error is foaming, and it hisses at the still small voice of truth, but it can neither silence nor disarm God's voice. Mary Baker Eddy, 1888. The Boston scientists should have been chagrined by the final result of their church fair. In June of 1886, the church had bought a site in the Back Bay district of Boston. Instead of applying the metaphysics they had learned in order to meet the mortgage, they had resorted to the outgrown methods of their former churches. All were rejoicing in the tremendous success of the fair when they were rudely awakened from their revels and their reversion to unscientific means. The treasurer absconded with all the money. Mrs. Eddy said he was an honest man. Those who learned from this lesson renewed their efforts to follow their leader and her teachings. For 6 months, Mrs. Eddy had been meeting much mental resistance to unity of good, which had forced her into more spiritual latitudes. Once again, her students were being sifted as to who could follow into these deeper waters. In this trial, many succumbed to the malicious suggestions which came to their consciousness, criticizing and condemning the leader. Frank Mason, now assistant pastor, living and working at the college, wrote a timely article entitled, "The Pearl of Loyalty." It was the leader in the May Journal, but before that issue appeared, an incident occurred, which brought the growing rebellion to the surface. A member of the association, Mrs. Abby H. Corner, of West Medford, Massachusetts, was indicted for manslaughter. She had attended her daughter in a childbirth which had been fatal to both mother and child. The newspapers pounced on the story with malice and denunciations of Christian Science. Mrs. Eddy responded with an article for the Committee on Publication to send to the Boston Herald. The lamentable case, reported from West Medford, of the death of a mother and her infant at childbirth, should forever put a stop to quackery. There has been but one side of this case presented by the newspapers. We wait to hear from the other side, trusting that attenuating circumstances will be brought to light. Mrs. Abby H. Corner never entered the obstetrics class at the Massachusetts Metaphysical College. She was not fitted at this institute for an accoucheur, had attended but one term and four terms, including 3 years of successful practice by the student, are required to complete the college course. The West Medford case, so far as is known, is the first instance of death at childbirth in the practice of Christian Science. This fact is of vital importance when compared with the daily statistics of death on such occasions caused by the use of drugs and instruments. Does medical malpractice and the mortality that ensues go unnoticed because of their frequency? Committee on Publication, Christian Scientists Association. Every word she wrote was the truth. Mrs. Corner's side of the case had not been presented, so Mrs. Eddy's reference to quackery was not aimed at her student, but at the malpractice, which was overlooked in the regular schools. The main issue was the attack on Christian Science. on her college and her teaching. But the rebellious students did not so see it. Their indignation, which had been aroused by the unjust press coverage, was turned with fury against their teacher. Sarah Cross had objected as a member of the Committee on Publication to Mrs. Eddy's response, but the other two members had submitted it anyway. Mrs. Cross, together with Mr. Murphy, the leader of the medical faction, became aggressive in their intent to oust Mrs. Eddy from her association. Though the coroner case was the exciting cause, the remote cause was the intent of malicious mind to separate the discoverer from her discovery. A special meeting of the CSA was held on the 2nd of June, ostensibly on Mrs. Corner's behalf. This and the regular meeting on June 6th became very stormy indeed, causing the secretary to resign. The dissenters endeavored to elect Murphy to the position, but failed. William B. Johnson was elected to fill the vacant post. Mr. Murphy moved that the association contribute $200 toward Mrs. Corner's legal expenses, but this was voted down. For Mrs. Eddy, though absent, had requested that the students aid Mrs. Corner by individual subscriptions. $170 was pledged, but the dissidents contributed nothing. Mrs. Eddy herself offered to pay to have a medical expert brought in to give evidence, but Mrs. Corner's counsel assured her that it was not necessary, as indeed it was not. The leader also wrote an article for the June Journal entitled Malicious Newspaper Reports, which included the following. When the press assumes the liberty to lie, it discounts clemency, mocks morality, outrages humanity, breaks common law, gives impulse to violence, envy, and hate. In times like these, it were well to lift the veil on the sackcloth of home, where weepeth the faithful but stricken mother, and the bruised father bendeth his aching head, where the bereft husband, silent and alone, gazes in dull despair at the vacant seat, and the motherless little ones, wondering, huddle together, and repeat with quivering lips words of strange import. Sad to say, the stricken mother did not remain faithful. Calvin Fry and William B. Johnson did their best to keep order at the association meeting, but it was next to impossible. 2 days later, Mrs. Eddy sent Mr. Johnson to Chicago to apprise her leading students in that city of the situation in Boston for the National Christian Scientist Association was to meet in the Windy City the following Wednesday. Mr. Johnson carried this letter with him. Boston, June 8, 1888. My dear student, listen to this faithful student. Our vice president in Boston is heading a new faction. Ask Mr. Johnson about it, who bears this letter. As ever, your faithful teacher, M. B. G. Eddy. Mr. Johnson was sent to the pastor of the Chicago Church, Reverend George B. Day, to the heads of the Chicago Christian Science Institutes, Mrs. Elizabeth Webster, and Mrs. G. W. Adams, Union Park Institute, Mr. and Mrs. Noyes, Illinois Institute, Mrs. Larmini and Mrs. Bell, Hyde Park Institute, Mr. and Mrs. Linscott, Chicago Institute, plus Mr. and Mrs. Bradford Sherman. In A History of the Christian Science Movement, Mr. Johnson's son wrote that the revolutionists might obtain the needed power to force their issue, they conceived a plot to get control of the books of the secretary while father was in Chicago. One of the dissenters called at our home, engaged my mother in pleasant conversation, and suggested that as my father was away and there was to be another meeting, it was necessary that they have the records. It was all done in such a natural way that mother had no suspicion and gave them up. On the 12th of June, when many of the faithful were in Chicago for the annual meeting of the National Association, another meeting was called, at which Mrs. Cross led a violent attack against Mrs. Eddy. Failing to control the meeting completely, she and 35 other members resigned. Newer members were intimated, for the dissenters included several of the most prominent Boston scientists. One is reminded of Jesus' experience. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?"